60 degrees in Kansas City. It's Johnny there. Oh, and there he can't, I go in the other room, and there is, it's, I'm telling you, timeless. Like a Rolex or a giant redwood. You just, it's that beautiful thing. His name is Mr. John Witherspoon.
Born January 27th in Detroit, Michigan. He started his career as a male model before entering the world of stand-up comedy and acting with roles in such films as Hollywood Shuffle, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, House Party, Boomerang, Little Nicky, Soul Plane, and the Friday movies. You've seen him on such series as The Wayans Brothers and Black Jesus, as well as adding his voice to the animated series Boondocks, and tonight and tomorrow night, you can see him live on stage at the Improv. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, John Witherspoon.
There's no way. There's no way you're 77, by the way.
77, sir.
Yeah, no chance. You're the guy who lies about being older.
Yeah, but I'm 77.
You are just because.
But I still feel good.
He hopped out of a chair. It looks exactly the same as the last time I saw you.
No, I'm getting old. I look at myself in the mirror.
You don't look old.
I was on Joe Rogan's
podcast
three nights ago with my son, and he's 30. My son, oldest son is 31. I think,
mm-hmm.
I think he's 31. 32, wow. Something like that. I don't know.
My parents don't even know my name anymore. I got three brothers, and I'm always Paul, Tom, Frank, John. Like, so
I call them all the same. My other son is 23. I call him John David, and I call John David Alexander.
Yeah, of course.
They get so mad. Daddy, why don't you know my name?
Because you're interchangeable. That's what they'll tell
years.
You. That's right, because I made you, and you're interchangeable. Yeah, no, that's what my parents will tell. My dad will look me right in the eye and go, you're all stupid. And just like, it's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is.
It is. That's your dad. Like,
that's the way it is.
When you were a kid, like, you know, you're much more, I'm sure, more thoughtful to your kids than your dad was to you. Because that just wasn't a time.
He walked right past me.
Yeah, right.
Huh?
Exactly. He might ask you, who are you again?
Say, Danny, huh?
Yeah, right.
Oh, hey, how you doing there, buddy?
We laughed about that the other day, back when your parents could hit you in public. In fact, if they did hit you in public,
boy. It
showed they were being a good parent.
Good parent, yes.
Yeah, you were like, you weren't letting the kid get away with something. Yeah. Like, that's good parenting right there. You see me
that
kid there?
See that, Charlotte? That's what you should do.
I swear to God.
Knock that sucker out.
Oh, my dad could do it. My dad grab you by your neck, steer you around the store, turn his ring around, thump you on the head.
Yeah, my grandfather used to pluck us with his fingers. See, we'd be in church messing up, just making noise, and he was.
Oh, yeah.
I look around, he told me, you stop over that.
Church.
But when I got around 18, one time he plucked me on my back, I said, hey, man, don't do that no more.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Oh,
I see.
He couldn't say nothing but
Dude, I saw my brother challenge my dad once, John. And he told my dad he was old enough he wasn't going to get spanked anymore.
Yeah, right.
And that's right when my dad punched him down a flight of stairs. I went.
Then he probably ran up the stairs. Your parents ran up the stairs.
Oh, hell
knocked
yeah.
The kid down.
Oh, no. My dad knocked my brother down the stairs.
Yeah,
oh,
then,
yeah.
Then your daddy probably ran up the stairs, get the hell out of the way when that young buck started coming up to step after me.
Yeah, that's right.
My brother did the same thing. He grabbed my face. He said, Dad, it's time for us to start just talking now. It's not.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to just sock me in my mouth and my neck and things. He said, you don't tell me what to do, boy. You don't tell me what to do. He said, Daddy, I think we should talk. He picked my daddy up the wall.
Oh, I couldn't pick my dad up.
My daddy was a little guy. I thought he was so tall.
Right? Now, I'm telling you, I wouldn't fight my old man today. And he's 76.
Oh, really?
And I'm telling you, my old man, I believe, could still hit me with a good lick. Like, and I just, there's certain guys you go, they're tougher than me. They're just always going to be tougher than me. And you grew up hard. I mean, we're having a great conversation. Last time we spoke on the phone was we talked about Detroit and the music scene there and Motown and everything you saw and the recording studios and the people that you ran with. I mean, that's legendary.
Motown, I used to play basketball with the Temptations.
That to me is.
And my brother used to be a writer, a producer over there at Motown. So I go there every day to see him. just to see him, but I want to see all the rest of them. Say hello to the people.
You understand, if I had a moment in my life where I played basketball, The Temptations, yeah. I could stop there and go, I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, legend.
This is legend, yeah. But the fact is, I didn't know anything about that. I was just playing with my old friends.
You never appreciate it at the moment like
that. Never appreciated it. Then I realized, damn, Richard Street and I play ball every day.
And, you know, you go into Hollywood. You worked on a Richard Pryor show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, you, one of the great greats. Sean Penn's first ever acting show.
Yeah.
Right, he was a little kid.
He was a little kid on the Barnaby Jones. And I was a counselor in a drug rehabilitation school. And he had a line he had to ask me. And he was his first time acting. His father was a director and a producer on Barnaby Jones.
God.
Yeah.
He said, it's just the odds of making it out of Detroit, out of there, and then showing up in L.A.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare. I mean, to come in and be part of that golden era of comedy at the Comedy Store and Letterman.
Well, I was there with, Mitzi just started. And Joe Rogan, we hit on that on his show about how I knew Mitzi. They had a picture of Mitzi on the wall. I know that face from somewhere.
Sure.
It was when she was very young.
Back when Jimmy was telling me the story about when they went to, it's not really a pay, it was a pay to play or just not get paid at all.
No, we didn't get paid at all.
Yeah, and then there was the big, the revolt.
Yeah, the strike. We had a strike.
Yeah. I mean, that's heavy stuff when you think about it, because that's the stuff that could get you banned. I mean, that was always the fear, right?
Yeah.
Like, you'll get blackballed, and then that'll be it. You'll never work again.
Yeah, that's true. And that's what had happened back then, because Mitzi's, we wanted to get paid. We said the waitresses are getting paid.
Everybody's getting paid.
And they're not coming here to see the waitresses.
That's right.
They come and see the comics.
Yeah, and you guys are the landlords. We're the talent. Like, we deserve part of this.
And I was working with Mitzi. I was her MC of the second show. David Letterman MC'd the first show. I MC'd the second show. And so I went on strike with the comics because I come out to California. I drove all the way out to California to be a comic, not a MC, but I needed that job to pay my rent.
Sure. How did she? Did you guys ever recover? You and Mitzi, did the friendship recover?
I haven't seen that. I've been there.
Well, she's passed now.
She died recently.
But did you guys ever make it?
I left the Comedy Store because, you know, I didn't go back. I went down to the, it's all getting on stage. I went down to the Laugh Factory.
All right.
That's right down the street, 2-3 blocks down, was another comedy club.
Isn't it fun? Because, I mean, it really is that competitive. And not just between comedians, between clubs.
Owners.
And if you work one club, that's it. You're done with the other.
You can't go to the other. And, you know, that happened with Jay Leno and David Letterman show. You're not, if you work on David Letterman show, unless you're real big time.
Well, who was that crazy bitch manager?
Was crazy.
Kushnick
Her husband was just like her.
Yeah.
They were both crazy.
And they would just blackball you and scream at everybody.
My God. You think that. But they were representing Jay Leno.
Yeah. Yeah. And super powerful, man.
Yeah. And Jay would say, see somebody he like. He would say, come to the show taping tomorrow. I mean, just ask for me. They would ask for him, but they would ask through her. She would say, get out of here. He don't want to talk to you. She would tell people.
Isn't that awful? That's why they finally ran her off. He had to clip her. Because the network was like, either you're losing the show or you're losing her.
Yeah. And that's what happened. He had to fire them.
Yeah, and he should.
And because they were screwing up his career.
Absolutely.
And he didn't know it.
I always wonder about that.
Yeah, I think, he knew some of that.
Because, you know, you pay those people to be the bad guys, right?
That's what they paid them to be the bad guys, and they were the bad guys, and he would just walk away like a little angel.
Right, and then Letterman never did that. Jimmy tells me, Jimmy Walker, that till the day Letterman went off the air, he goes, you'll always be on my show, and he goes, I've been on that show every year, and never failed, and he was always a friend, and always a good human being, man.
Yeah, when he get to L.A., he calls me, Tom Dreesen, and Tim Thomerson, we sit up and have dinner and stuff together.
See, how great is that?
Oh, we all 40. He said he feels more relaxed with us than he does with the people that around him every day.
Because they know it's love. It's friendship. You went to war together.
Yeah. Well, he was the MC.
Yeah.
He MC'd his first show. I MC'd the second show. We were on the Comedy Store basketball team together. We all We used to play one-on-one whole court. I think I told you that before.
Could you beat the Temptations, though? Could that team beat the Temptations?
I had more people on my team that were really good, too. Then I played with the Temptations. I know how to work it, so I can get. We can just be friends.
I'm so terrible. I'm so terrible at basketball. My own girlfriend beat me wearing, I swear to God, she beat me while wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she played ball all the way through. You know,
no, she knew about
school
shooting.
Yeah. She's killing me.
You knew about shooting. But what's so funny, we get a restaurant when Dave and Mary, his secretary, she get these beautiful restaurants that we meet to eat. High-end, 5 stars. As soon as I walk in, Dave be at the table. He get there early before anybody. He says, "Spoon!" Everybody around the whole restaurant do like this. What the hell? I said, "Dave!"
That's so good.
Oh, my French God. At first, I was wait a minute. Damn, what is wrong with Dave? But now I think it's funny when I come in. He right? says, "Spoon!"
And he is one of those guys, like, nobody ever really gets their head around him unless you know him, I think. Because I think he's a really complex guy. Now he lives way out, was it Montana or Wyoming? Yeah. And that great big beard he's growing.
He got a big beard. I saw it the other day. We had dinner the other day, and all the guys get together. And my wife always told me, why don't the ladies come? I said, we don't want you guys. One day we'll have you guys come back, but right now it's all the old guys.
Well, that's it, man, because it would be... I think it should always be you guys, man, because that's where it came from. You know, those girls weren't there at the time, so it's not around. Their conversation, right?
And everybody got a story about what's wrong with them.
Right.
Somebody got cancer. Somebody beat cancer. I told him I had my eyes. I got cataract surgery.
So you got the lens replacement.
Yeah, I got the lens replacement.
What do you think?
I got the big ball. You see, I'm looking out the window now.
Am I extremely handsome, or was I more handsome before?
I have X-ray vision.
You might have noticed Nikki's ample bosom.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that when I first saw her. They said, boom, boom, boom.
Well, he's in the Improv tonight and tomorrow night, by the way, improvkc.com. Yeah. There's 2 shows each. And if you haven't seen Mr. Witherspoon, it's everything you know. Because to me, whenever you get to see a guy who's is a movie star or on television in that stand-up, it's like being the camera on a movie set to me. To me, it's always fascinating to watch a guy work I really do love it. I love it because it's fun, man. Yeah. And you realize, this is the talent that propelled them into that talent.
Oh, yeah. And in movies, we ad-lib. So I'm actually ad-libbing, like my act is... I act like it's ad lib, but I know exactly what I'm saying.
Of course, but that's
the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Fridays
is coming back. It looks like Boondocks.
I hope the Boondocks is coming back
for sure.
Yeah, Aaron Magruder said he's writing the scripts now for that. Ice Cube said the 4th Friday script is finished. They just Warner Brothers, New Line Cinema sold Friday to Warner Brothers. So they toss that thing around.
And you got to see who the new president's going to be.
Find out you got to make friends with this guy so we can put the 4th one out.
I didn't know that before. When the new guys get in, they throw the old guy's stuff out sometimes.
Yeah. He brings his own people in.
That's it. Yeah. That's I can't imagine how hard it's been to navigate. You can you can have good friends who really will root for you and you know, whatever can do is solid.
Yeah.
But it's the industry pricks that I've had trouble with. Like in this business,
always.
You know, guys like you, I love, and to this day, I think I'm thankful I get to hang out with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I've been knowing you for 20-something years.
Yeah, every day I think, he's coming in the studio. And I love it. And the people I work with. But then the industry guys are the ones you go, I'm so tired of these guys, man.
Yeah.
Because they're not good human beings.
Well, they deal with numbers.
That's it.
That's what
humans.
They don't know human. They know them.
Numbers. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
And you just got to separate the two. You know, when you... let me go back to when you were a kid, because I have this weird love of Detroit, and because I think it was such an important part of America, and then it took that dive when the car industry went bad, and now it's rebuilding and doing
rebuilding.
Well.
Yeah, sure it is.
But it is, to me, so overlooked. Like, Nashville, I know it's important, but to me, Detroit is 10 times more important.
Yeah.
The epicenter of all great music. Memphis was pretty important. But again, you go back to Detroit and look at the volume of things that came out of there, the sound that came out of there.
The people that created their own sound.
Yeah.
And that's amazing to do something like that.
Yeah. And we talked about that documentary I saw about the Swampers, the band in Muscle Shoals.
Mm-hmm.
And the sound that everybody would go there
yep.
and record and come back. And it's just, I can't wait to get back to Detroit to do there's a museum there now, the Motown, the original house. Motown,
yeah, the original house there. And didn't see how small it is in there.
That's what my friend Jesse just told me. Yeah. He walked through there.
It's small.
And when you were a kid, that was it?
It was big when I was there, but now I went past there. It's small, the places I went in.
And it was a residential house, right?
Yeah, it's a residential house. They turned it into a studio.
That's crazy.
Yeah, Motown. And I used to go there and see my brother. He'd be at the piano working on stuff. And I see Marvin Gaye over here and Tim's. And I see Dinah Ross be walking past, you know. That was beautiful back then. That's I know amazing. Smokey Robinson's still around. I saw him, oh boy, a couple months ago. But he just is friendly.
How's he look?
Friendly, just like he did when he was 20.
That's great. That's amazing.
Amazing.
Man. That's weird thing. Like, I'm super happy I am where I am today, but there's that part of me that wishes I could have seen any of that. Just any of it.
Oh, yeah. It was... Then I would see them on stage. You know, they had the 20 grand lounge then, and they also had Rooster Tail, where they would work all week. The mm-hmm. Temptations would work all week. They're one of the best groups I ever heard in my life.
But yeah.
They had some harmony that was so beautiful.
Inside. It's just a different time. And
yeah.
Well, and then Nikki's stepdaughter just was at the... Was it the Grammys?
Grammy Awards.
Yeah.
And Diana was performing with her big number there, and they were because it was actually her birthday, and it was the anniversary of Motown, so it was a big celebration.
And her stepdaughter's married to Dan from Dan and Shay, the country duo, and they won a bunch of awards. But so their stepdaughter was there, and she's standing in the first five rows.
Oh yeah.
And Diana Ross just comes out, and there's this great moment where Diana grabs both her hands, and I'm like,
oh man,
like how you don't just fall over and go. That's it. I'm a grown man, and I might fall over, like if that were to happen.
You bow. That's Diana Ross. Yeah, start smiling.
Right.
Bow.
Yep. Yeah. I remember her when she was a little girl, and her mother would be with her all the time. She couldn't go anywhere without her mother.
Good.
And now her daughter is on Blackish.
Yeah,
I had a scene with them. She said, oh, fine, I get a chance to work with Spoon.
So good.
I get a chance to work with you. Spoon, what are you talking about?
Dude, that's so fantastic, the idea of all that. Because you go back to like the Norman Lear stuff, like good times.
Yep.
And we spoke with Norman. We were lucky enough when he wrote that book a couple years ago to talk with him. And, you know, that guy, he changed culture. Whether anybody wants with anybody. And in a way, between All in the Family and Good Times, made a buffoon out of Archie Bunker in a funny way. And so instead of being an angry way, and we learned that's a buffoon way to act.
And everybody can relate to it. That's what's so great about it. You know?
And absolutely. And Good Times, that was a real story about real human beings. And, you know, obviously it's a comedy, but you go, man, that matters. It really did. It wildly influenced a generation, including mine.
Yeah.
And I think that was the biggest step forward you could possibly make through pop culture.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because, you know, like you're talking about getting hit with a billy stick, you know.
Yeah.
And the other way is a much harder route.
And Sanford and Son, but the father is, you know, they both broke.
Yeah,
and I look at Don D.C. Curry is a friend of mine. He's I go to his house in Atlanta. He got a place just like the Sanford and Son. It's funny. Don drives a Phantom,
but he's got a place like Sanford and
Son. Just like
that's the best. That's the best.
He pulled right up in his place and parked that Phantom, and he got. A refrigerator that's a waterfall.
See, I'm that kind of guy too. I got a little touch of that whiskey tango in me, man. It's
Man. Then he got refrigerators around his property that he got beer all in it.
Mm-hmm. It just, you know what? That's what success is to him.
Yeah, that's what.
That's it. To me, success is not wearing a tie. You know what I mean?
No,
I get to come to work in a plain T-shirt.
No
today.
ties. But it is so funny. He's man, the Sanford and Son over here. I said, yeah, it is, Don. Yeah, Sanford and Son. Give me one of them beers over there, Don.
When you were a kid, did you just know you were destined to be in that spotlight, like that attention, and that was going to come to you?
No, not really. My brother was, you know, he's always been a writer.
But he played. He was a player.
Yeah. Oh yeah. My brother played the piano.
Yeah.
But his thing was a song. Right.
But that had to drive you. He's an older brother.
He's my oldest brother. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's tough because he's getting a lot of attention, which means you got to push hard.
Yeah. Well, I was quiet. I wasn't, I just started when I got about 24, 25.
What was the moment that made you go?
Well, I used to live with my brother for 6 months and until I got my place. Mm-hmm. And he and his wife would go to the theater and they would put on plays and stuff. I said, oh, I'd like to be an actor one day.
Sure.
Then I got the Yellow Pages. I said, I'm going to go to acting classes. As I got the Yellow Pages, they had the Yellow Pages back then. So, mm-hmm. You don't have them.
Yeah,
now
yeah.
They got
of course,
the computer.
I remember. Yeah. Yep,
they
of course.
Got the computer now. I mean, they're phones. So I called Mr. Binkelman's acting class, John Binkelman. He said, $25 an hour. Come on over here. I'll start you out.
What year? 60?
No, that was a long time.
25 bucks 60. An hour.
Yeah, $25
an
hour.
That's a lot. That's a lot, yeah. Man.
And, but he was good. He had me in there doing Shakespeare. Oh, was I tearing Shakespeare up? That was embarrassing.
Have now you prayed was the winter tonight? Of our discontent.
Yeah. Yes. Have you prayed tonight, Desdemona?
So I love the idea that when you don't know how hard the route's going to be, you just start up the mountain. You have no idea how tall the mountain might be.
What the hell going on?
But you're like, you know what? If they can do it, I bet I can do it. Why can't? There's no reason I can't do it. And you just start up the mountain.
And that's what my theory was. If they can do it.
Yeah, me too. Why not me? Why not me? Is there some reason I can't do this?
I remember when I was the first time I did Dave Letterman's show. I said, Jimmy Walker did it. I know I can do it too.
Right? Yeah. That's it.
We work on the same stage.
It's that young, fearless, not having anybody squash you yet, you know. Yeah. And then you got to learn to turn that into some fuel as well.
Yeah, right. It's true. I went out there. I said, "That was easy." And I'm gonna do it again.
That felt good. I think I'm gonna do that again.
Yeah. And see, Letterman had his friends. He was the only one that Jay Leno. He couldn't get any of his friends on his show. He didn't want anybody from the Comedy Store on his show for some reason.
Well,
that's really weird.
Fame and fortune and it's shining on you. There's a couple kinds of people. There's people that want to share it because it feels good.
Yeah.
And people that want to hoard it because they're afraid they'll lose it.
Yeah, I don't know what he got that from because he had some really funny guys that was his best friend. They were funny.
Yeah.
But Letterman had a list of people. All you had to do is call in and say, I have 7 minutes and I'm ready to come and go on the show again. They give you a date. They have somebody call you and book you right there.
Ah, well, that's why he'll always be the legend. Again, not the pop culture legend.
Yeah.
Like Jay, and this is not a shot at Jay, but he was famous for taking over for Johnny. Letterman is famous for being David Letterman.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
And that's a much cooler place in history.
Oh, Johnny loved David. David Letterman... what's his name? He used to be on the own. He was the big head at NBC. Johnny, he would produce Johnny Carson's show.
I know.
Silverman.
Yeah.
He came to the Comedy Store and saw Dave, and he said, I want you to, I'm going to give you $1 million a year just to sit around and wait for Johnny. Don't want to go on.
I remember that story.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
And Dave said, I'm taking you boys out for a big steak dinner. Mm-hmm. And I said, you going to take us out? Where are we? We about to eat some McDonald's. What are you going to do?
That's back living in Hollywood. I moved to L.A. when I was 18.
Yeah.
I lived in La Palmas and Yucca.
Oh, I know La Palmas.
That was a rough neighborhood back when I was 18. Yeah. And I remember you'd save up money. I mean, going down to this, was there a Sizzler down there?
Sizzler.
On Highland.
Yeah, I think Sizzler went and then came back and went again. Now they're back now.
Yeah, we've done Highland. It was all you could eat shrimp, and so we would stick it in bags and put it in our pockets. And take it with us and go back.
You can't do no all you can eat, boy. No. You cannot do that. They used to do that at all the Chinese restaurants. You used to have all you can eat on Tuesday. Man, we go in there and tear that place up.
Oh, yeah. Then somebody come out and go, that's all you can eat.
What the hell going on here?
Let me just tell you again, I'm so in love with the idea of getting to be here with you. Every time you stop
by. Oh, I'm glad. Thank you.
I really am. My pleasure. Legend and exactly how I think people should be in this world. Like, take their talent, enjoy their life, give it to others, make other people feel good, and take the time we have and just try to enjoy it, man.
Yeah, enjoy it, yeah.
You are. By the way, KC Improv tonight is the lucky club. Tonight, two shows tomorrow night as well. And if they're not sold out, they will be shortly.
Oh, yeah, and we have a good time over there.
Yeah, I mean, but people, you know, the idea like Boondocks, you're so relevant still. Like, you're still doing stuff that kids are saying, young guys.
Oh, yeah.
And the first shows, I mean, what was the first major, what would you say the breakthrough was for you?
I think before I made money, because a lot of time you can do Barnaby Jones and you only work for 1 week.
They knew you just wanted to be there, right?
And Incredible Hulk, I only got paid 1 week, one fee on that one. I get residuals, but
right.
It was probably the Wayne Brothers because I got a check every week, and you're making over $20,000 a week. And that check clears.
Right.
With no problem. Right. You can't, ain't none of that. Mr. Witherspoon, we have to talk to you. We call the bank.
Is that first one, is that just, do you stare at it?
Oh, boy. Just... boy. You know, the checks you get on from Friday, you know, the first Friday I only made $5,000. The first Friday.
Right.
But the last Friday, the third Friday, I made over $1 million.
That's amazing. Did they pay it one time?
No, you don't get it paid. You get paid like every 2 weeks, but they give you a check of like $80,000.
I'd take pictures of it.
That's the check I looked. Oh, yeah.
I'd have pictures of it on my wall. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to tell you the pictures I have. The Boondocks, Boondocks fell out with Aaron Magruder, the Showtime. I forget the name of the producers. The studio that did the Boondocks.
Right.
Anyway, they fell out. So they had to pay me because my contract called for pay or play. That means if you don't put it on, you owe me for the whole year.
Perfect.
I got a check.
Smart agent.
Now, that's the one they paid me over $100,000.
That's so good.
And then I got that check in one little lump sum.
Do you have a picture? Do you have a picture of that on the wall?
I have 22 pictures all around my house.
See, I love that. Because that's, you go back, it's a long way from Detroit and paying, you know, Mr. Binkle Bickleman did $25 an hour.
$25 an hour, yep.
And it's not an easy run in this business, man.
Oh, no.
And you think about where you've come from. You go, hey, listen, Detroit, growing up, a young black male in that time in our country was rough.
Yeah, tough.
And I mean, period. Yeah. That's just the way it was. You know, I remember talking to my dad. You know, I was born in Memphis. My father was born in Memphis.
Yeah.
And we were at the Rock and Soul Museum. And they were just talking about Memphis, how they thought it was super progressive to have on Sunday, white people couldn't go to the zoo, but black people couldn't. They thought that was like a gift, right?
Yeah, right.
I remember calling my dad going, come on, what Dad, that's not real.
What kind of stuff is this?
He goes, no. He goes, people thought that was progressive back then. And then you go... you're down the road to the Lorraine Motel, the Civil Rights Museum, and you just get a, and that's, I tell everybody, if you haven't been, you got to go.
You got to go, boy.
It'll tell you the honest, factual, unvarnished truth.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't pander. It just, it's the honest truth. Yeah. And it's, and you were a big part of that. And that's, that can also get you blown out of Hollywood.
Yep.
You know, you talk too much. You protested, you marched, you were part of that voice.
Yeah.
And to me, the most patriotic thing you could ever do is use your voice when you see something that does not line up with our ideals, the stuff we grew up with, what we were told as children.
Right.
You should yell as loud as you can.
Yeah, and that's what I did at the comic store. You know, we weren't getting paid, and I was working there.
Yeah.
I had a check every week.
That's right.
But I said, I walked on the picket line, too. Yeah. Mitzi said, not Johnny. Mitzi, you got to pay the people. I told you. And I told her, just buy them some eggs. They can go get some eggs.
Anything. Just anything. Yeah. But don't pee down my back and tell me it's raining.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she was doing, man, basically.
Yeah. And it's so simple, but that's just, you got to find your way, man. And then when you get a little success under your belt and some influence, then you do the right thing, and that's what you've always done. Mm-hmm. You remember how Letterman has always been to you,
how
you guys started together, and I'm sure you do that the same way to others,
same thing,
man.
Yeah, sure, for sure.
You who do you like now? Like, you see any young comedians come up where you go, I really like him, or this actor makes me
but
laugh?
But I think, what's his name is, what's it, the little short guy? He's doing so
Kevin?
Well. Kevin Hart.
He's
doing so well.
He's one of the sweetest cats. I remember when he was just coming up, he'd come in the studio, and it was like watching a firecracker explode.
Right. Yeah.
Like, he'd come through the door, and he just went on 11. And he was, and then he'd leave, and you go, and he just amazingly full of life.
Yeah, well, that's what I appreciate, the fact that he made more money than Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor never worked the... Radio City. What was it? The day in New York, he worked. What's the name of the place in New York? What the Knicks play?
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, he filled that up. Mm-hmm. Great. But he's got a lot of kids. It must be kids coming in. See, I never watched his show.
Well, I think Kevin. We don't get, people don't get ripped off the way they used to. Richard was high, right? I mean, he made some mistakes. I think because he wasn't paying attention to.
He was too high. That's the only reason.
And Kevin knows. Like, I remember the studio heads were mad at Hart because he charged them to access his influence on Instagram and Facebook, and it was a big number, and they were pissed off about it. And I'm like, no, that's what you do, because this is the moment you can make money,
and it's don't. Your time.
Someone's going to make money, and might as well. well be you.
Might as well be you. But Richard Pryor was too, he was too high.
Yeah, and Paul wasn't. That Mooney.
Yeah.
You know, to me, by the way, I hold him up, and he's the hardest nut I ever cracked.
Who's that now?
Paul Mooney.
Oh, yeah, Mooney.
Paul
yeah.
would come in. You know, Paul's not fond of radio guys.
Oh, and, really? See, I've never, never been in that with a radio
and,
guy.
And you know, you have to, you better be lined up. You better know. You better know, because he's, you know Paul.
Like, oh, I know him,
like,
yeah.
You'd see him squint down at you, and you're like,
oh yeah.
Either, and you could see it, he'd relax, and then become a friend, and I really, I one of the great underrated human being.
I mean, he was very, he's very funny.
Yeah.
But the fact is that you, even at that, you got to be able to communicate with everybody.
That's it.
You got to communicate. If you want to be successful in this business, you got to communicate.
I saw Charlie Murphy make that switch before he passed. He was tough, and it was hard.
Yeah, he was hard-nosed. Yeah.
And then in the end, he was happy. And the day, I didn't even know he was sick. When I found out he had passed.
He wouldn't tell nobody he was sick. That was amazing. We were on the same TV show together. I said, Charlie, you look a little, you see, I ate some sweets. I said, Charlie, ain't no sweets going to make you look like that.
Right.
You better go get it checked. And, you know, he probably had it checked already and knew about it.
He was, and that really made me sad, because just to see him become the, you know, the, his book, Making of a Stand-Up Guy.
Right.
He became, and he got from underneath a huge shadow.
Right.
And the chip fell away, and you could see him. And he was incredible.
Yeah, oh, he was so, he had me laughing on the set. I was bust out laughing. Yeah. They said, Witherspoon, you cannot start laughing.
Yeah.
I said, well, Charlie making me laugh. Charlie, stop making me laugh.
Mm. Charlie came in here the first couple of times. She'd have a buddy with him. I'm like, I think your friend has a gun, Charlie. can we just have him button his coat? It's making everyone nervous. And but he'd tell stories about, like, when they were kids, and the way that he and Eddie would grow up, and then when Eddie became big,
right,
he'll tell this story about they were sitting around this table, and all the yes men and the sycophants were trying to get in between him and Eddie, and he just walked upstairs and got a gun and came back downstairs, and he told me that, and I was like, are you kidding? He goes, oh, of course we did that, and I'm like, I love seeing human and real life reactions in situations that Hollywood produces, because, you know, it's, you got to stay a real human being. Like, coming from Detroit.
Yeah, you got to be a human being. That's how you get over in this business.
Yeah, well,
you'll get burned a couple of times, but that's all right.
You outlast them, man.
You outlast them, yeah.
How many times when you were coming up in stand-up did the club guy cheat you? Because, and not the improv, because they're great. But
I've had many checks bounce. That's why I say the check clears on the Wayne brothers.
Oh, Craig.
That's the WB.
God rest Craig Glazier, who ran Stanford's here.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I watched him play that game so many times. I'm like, Craig, what are you doing? Like, it was this amount, and then at the end, it was a sold-out show, not a seat in the house. We can't make any money. There's no money. Nobody's making any money. Like, you're like,
but I just found out that Craig had died. I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, he got the same thing. He didn't tell anybody. Same kind of a thing. Yeah. And leukemia diabetic. And just he wasn't living a healthy life, man.
Not healthy. He had a Ferrari. Every time I see him, you want to drive it? Craig, I got a driver already taking me around the city. No, you take the car. You take the...
He had this weird charm, because you knew he was gonna hose you in some way. But he had that charm, like, and it happened to me, you know, because we had the club with him, we had a bar with him, and in the end, he was suing me for $8 million on the way out the door.
I remember you, I was just telling
you. It was absurd, Amanda, I couldn't even be mad. I was like, I get it, man. Like, I know you. It's not going to go through. Nobody's paying, but... And then he died. And just, the world is not as much fun without that crazy bastard. And he was frustrating.
He was crazy.
Yes.
He would make you crazy.
Yes. Yes. He would make me insane.
Make
man.
You insane. But he was, he paid me. I never had any trouble
Good
with
him.
Good
for him, man. You know, there were guys he really did hold you in high regard. Yeah. There were certain guys like Lopez, he always loved. Jimmy, he adored and took care of. And just, there were certain old school guys that he didn't have the, He wouldn't do it. The young guys, he'd kind of run them ragged. But,
right. But young, old guys, I knew him. I mean, he was fine with me. He wanted to give me that car every time I got in town.
Always trying to hand me a girl and blow. Like, come on, Johnny. He goes, hey, look at this girl. She really likes you.
He has some.
I'm like, hey, I don't want any of your weird stepped on coke.
And he had some pretty girls in his office. I used to go up there and work on my material and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I look around, this girl sitting there. What a damn. That looked like a fashion model or something over there.
Oh, yeah.
She was that pretty girl.
Well, you remember he married that Connie girl, and she was beautiful. Yeah, and she's still beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Wonderful girl, man.
Yeah.
That was almost that guy's redemption. He almost got there, man. And that didn't go well either.
And I don't know what happened to that Ferrari, but I didn't drive it. I should have driven that thing.
God damn. One time he and I were, after breakfast, we went out, and I won't mention the comedian's name because they'd been up all night. And we go over and have breakfast, this little breakfast place right here. And that's back when I still smoked. You could smoke in this restaurant. And I go, hey, give me a light. Give me a match. And I reached into it, that black blazer you always used to wear.
Oh, yeah.
And I pulled out, I thought it was matches, and it was about 2 grams of Coke. Oh, and right God. Behind him were two highway patrol guys. And I'm just like, ah! And I'm trying to put it back in his pocket. And they're both laughing like there's no repercussions in this world. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, man. Oh, every boy. Day is a goddamn, it's just a... an adventure with this squirrel.
What a fella. He was something. He was something. I'm shocked. I just heard about it an hour and a half ago.
Yeah. Yeah, no. It happened last year, man. He just but that's we all have a limited time, and it always comes back to the same thing. You work, you have a good time, you laugh, you spend time. Like again, you know, hopefully Fridays gets to come back with Cube and get to work there.
I told him they better hurry up because I don't want to be I'd be too old. The lines would be, Craig, come and change my diaper.
You see, make it the Winky Dinky diaper?
Yeah. Winky Dinky.
You, it's so many things you got. And then we talk about, again, with the Boondocks, when that comes back, and that's done.
That's going to be fun. All the stuff going on today.
Ooh. Spring? Will it be by spring?
I don't know the dates. He said, people are bidding for it. So they said Netflix wanted
one of the That's the money.
Yeah, that's the money. They got big paper. So and they have to pay us from starting from where we were with the Moonlights when we left. They cannot start over again. They got to pay us.
Of course, you're a known commodity. That's why they're bringing you back.
Yeah.
Well, isn't it satisfying to go from being back to Mitzi? On the strike line, the picket line of not getting a dime, not a dime
nothing.
For working.
Yeah.
And in your hard years, like when you need it the most, to knowing Netflix, that span of time. They can't control the gates anymore. They can't,
in the old days,
they'd say you won't get on that stage or you won't work for our movie studio.
Yeah,
and
right.
Now with the digital world, they can't stop
you. They can't stop you, boy. And it's tough and there's a lot of money out there now, boy. Look at the basketball players. They're getting so much money.
Yeah, and I say good on them, man. A lot of people get mad about it. I go, man, if somebody's there's a reason that money's there.
Yeah.
So go make it.
I play basketball, and I know they are
terrible.
Good. They are good.
See, you could beat me. You'd beat me to death. You'd beat me.
I couldn't put the ball in the basket. That was my problem. But you're supposed to put the ball in the basket. That's how you score.
Girls beat me, and I'm not getting a little bit.
I had a girl beat me. It was the most embarrassing thing in the world. I was playing at Venice Beach, Muscle Beach in Venice Beach.
Sure, sure.
And the black girl, she was, I didn't know the girl. She was on a basketball team in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "Where this one, you check her." I said, "I don't check no woman, man."
Right.
That woman lit my ass
up.
Yeah,
she takes you to the hole, just throws elbows, nothing but ass kickings.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, shooting them jumpers on me. And I'm trying to check her. I'm doing everything I know, all I know. And she fall back and shoot that jump shot. Swish. I said, oh, my God.
Same thing happened to me.
She said, "You should learn how to play basketball, sir." maybe you're right. You're right, young lady.
I'll take some lessons.
You're right. Thank you, man. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. I fell in love with this beautiful little girl. I do the dumbest thing you can do. There's a basketball. There's a and I'm like, I bounce. She goes, "Oh, I used to play basketball." I go, "Oh, isn't that cute?"
Oh, right. Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, you want to play?" I go, "Oh, isn't that cute? She wants to play."
Uh-huh.
And she starts just, again, same thing as you. Just
light you up.
And I looked at her, she's wearing cowboy boots.
Oh, God. That's embarrassing.
It. Yes, I'm still, you know what? I it's hard to make love to her even today because of that.
And people around taking pictures, and that's what get me. There was nobody there when we first started, but into the middle of the game, all the people around watching the little lady take me to the hoop. She had gym shoes on. She was ready to whoop
You got that.
She was ready to whoop my butt, boy, let me tell you.
Do you love taking the pictures when friends or fans come up?
Oh, yeah. I take pictures.
Good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I have some
to.
Guys. Yeah.
I have to because, you know, that's how you got where you are. You have to.
Yeah.
What I do when I go home, I just don't go out of my house.
I think that's reasonable. If you're not feeling it, then don't go. But if you do go.
If you go out, you're going to get some pictures.
Yeah.
And that's what my theory is.
And isn't it nice? Yeah. Somebody cares.
So I really I made that my theme. So if I go out of my gate, I pull out that gate.
Where did the real guy? This is a man. This is a real guy. This is where did the rest of all of it go? Like I hear these guys they complain and the da da da, and I'm like,
my God.
What are you doing, man? I go, did this come so easy that you don't that you don't you're not gratified by it? You don't find it. Are you kidding me? I stand around like this. I'm like, hope someone recognizes me. I hope somebody likes what I do.
Yeah.
God forbid they say that they like what you do.
Yeah. When I go to the market, I be like, you're gonna get people from behind the counter. Yeah. They give you the hog head cheese you ordered, and they want to get a picture. And they want to get a, can I take a picture with you? Yeah, come on. Where's your camera? And they come around and take a picture and go back around.
Was there ever a time when you were afraid that you were that wasn't happening anymore? Was there a low?
No, I still get it because I'm Pops.
I know you are now, I'm sure. But there was never a time in your career like it kind of went up?
When I went up, I never it came down.
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, man. That's really good. Because, I mean, I got
most do. Most guys I know have a low.
It's up and down.
Yeah.
But I on the airport at the airport when I come in it's like da-da.
That's so good, man. I love that about you.
They
just
want
love
a picture. They
you.
Want to get a picture. That's I mean, awesome. Pilot one time came back and he was flying the plane. I said, man, you better get back and fly the plane. Talking about bang, 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 bang. You got a court now, so you better fly that plane.
Do you go after the shows tonight and tomorrow night at the Improv? Will you be signing anything or saying hello? Or
when they want a picture, I usually take
a
picture.
But you come out and say hello real quick?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Excellent, man.
Oh yeah. I don't leave the stage. I have the MC say goodnight and I stay there.
That's super
and take
nice,
pictures
man.
With the people. Yeah.
Listen, the shows are going to be great. Make sure that you go out tonight, tomorrow night. It is two shows tonight, two shows tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Mr. Witherspoon is going to be there. The tickets, if there are any available, you need to get online right now, kcimprov.com. Do you have any? Are you guys sold or are you guys?
How are we doing?
You got a few? All right. Listen, get online now. Thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. Always a pleasure coming here.
He is the great John Witherspoon. Wonderful, man. Wonderful. Yes.